Good afternoon. I'm Jamila Erickson here with today's midday interview. My guest is Tony Rivenbark, the executive director of Thalian Hall Center for the Performing Arts. He has a bee in his bonnet. He's going to tell us all about the Shakespeare Club. This is a new thing happening at Thalian Hall. The Shakespeare Club screening the films that you have never seen and the films you want to see again. This will be a once-a-month venture in the Studio Theater, generally on the first Thursdays at 7:30. So, Tony, welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Now, where did this idea come from? Was this just rattling around in your head?
It's been moving in that way, but something clicked earlier this year, and I think a lot myself, and maybe a lot of people. I've done some Shakespeare, some plays, but I never really felt that comfortable with it, and I think a lot of people don't. Feel comfortable and feel like but they don't want to say, they don't want to, you know, admit that they're, you know, they can't quite follow the language and what. And I got, and I said, well, what is it that's there that I'm missing? What's wrong with me? So I just really began to delve in, and I came in to it back from a different way. I came in at looking at it through history, mm-hmm. and I had seen a program, a PBS thing on a history of one village, going back to the pre-Saxon times, called The History of England. It's about this one little town, and they did these pits, and they dug up all the thing, the whole town participated, and it basically became a history of England from before the Saxons up until Queen Victoria's time. Hmm. And sort of the history from bottom up. And then I watched the series on the monarchy, which is the history from the bottom down. Hmm. And then from there, I went to In Search of Shakespeare, because Shakespeare deals so much with the history of England. So once you start understanding the dynamics of what was going on in the history of England, the Wars of the Roses, the religious wars, the things that were going on in Shakespeare's time, which was a very interesting, changing time, and then discovered and realized how important theater was, that 13% of the citizens of London were going to the theater every week.
Isn't that amazing?
And London was the largest city in the world at that time.
Yeah.
So start looking at it from a historical point of view. You start understanding other aspects of what Shakespeare was writing about and who he was writing for, that there were no newspapers at the day. People came to the theater to find out what was going on.
Hmm.
The language issue, one of the things is the people of Elizabethan England didn't understand him either. He's writing poetry. He's writing for the stage, and he's writing poetry for the stage. It's obviously easier because they are of that time period. So I think the more that we can understand the time in which Shakespeare wrote is helpful. And I think the more that we understand the kind of stage that he wrote for. And what I have learned is the importance of the New Globe. Theater has actually changed radically. The way Shakespeare is being presented in all across the world.
Really?
Is the experience that has occurred by going as the whole goal of the rebuilt globe was to, as close as possible, to recreate that space, and that if the plays were performed in that space in that same way, we would learn something new about Shakespeare's text. And that's exactly what has happened.
How interesting.
And the clues that were given to audiences of that day that we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, a king or a nobleman or a lord would always enter through the center doors. They didn't have to know that. They didn't enter from the side doors. Mm-hmm. The other characters enter from the side because there were three doors. The doors on the sides were wide enough for two men to march simultaneously. If you had two men marching and then two behind it, it meant an army was coming.
Right.
They understood those things. All of those aspects went into that. So the piece that's missing from truly experiencing those shows in the same way is that we're not Elizabethan people,
mm-hmm.
but there is much to be said about us as Elizabethan people. For instance, the American language, the people that settled New England in the 17th century were Elizabethan England, Englanders. Mm-hmm. The people that came to Virginia and North Carolina in the 17th century were Elizabethan. They spoke Elizabethan English. People in England don't speak Elizabethan English today. Their language has changed as ours has. So Shakespeare being performed in some sort of fake British accent is no more correct than, not. American accents are just as valid because American accent actually goes back to Elizabethan English in the same way.
Wow.
There are all these many little aspects that come in, and the more that you delve into this, the easier it is to understand what you're doing. I watched three films of Macbeth, and I had the scripts next to me, and I had a dictionary next to me, and after the third time watching those films, then I began to find I didn't need those things. I didn't need that information. I was beginning to get it.
Right.
And then so in June I went up to see Alan Cumming's one-man production of Macbeth. He played all the parts.
My.
And it was absolutely brilliant. And it was like, I was watching material that I was now very familiar with because I had immersed myself into that.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same week I saw that, I went to see Much Ado About Nothing, which is a wonderful film. And I did some reading up on that to make sure I, understand the general plot twist in case I had forgotten. I think I was in it many years ago. I played Dogberry. But I never had a clue what it was all about. I was good as Dogberry, I thought. But the other thing that I think that finally comes to me, the way I've sort of summed this is that Shakespeare he appropriated a lot of stories and plays that had been written. That was typical of the day. Mm-hmm. Original ideas were not something that was necessarily praised. It was the ideas that were already there, and then how well you represented them. That was the skill and the talent. So he took those stories and plays, wrote them in a rhyming, quite often rhyming or poetry, not always, but in sometimes rhyming way. And if the words didn't fit, he made up a word.
There you go.
And he made it work. So he was really pretty good at putting this hodgepodge together. What has happened over all these years since, Shakespeare went from playing to literature. Well, it was never written to be literature. It was written to be heard and spoken, to be performed. That's what it's all about. And the elasticity is the word that keeps coming to my mind about this work, that you can stretch it and bend it like a piece of taffy almost any way you go. There's almost no right and wrong about it, except being boring.
You know, I think about that sometimes, and I remember our friend Michael Granbury that lived here many years ago and would direct plays for Cape Fear Shakespeare, and he would take a Shakespeare play and set it in a 1860s, gold rush time or something in San Francisco. And you go, wow, oh my God, that works. And I saw a production of Julius Caesar that was like 1930s gangsters. And it was amazing how much the play still worked with all those things bent and twisted around. If you're just joining us, I'm talking with Tony Rivenbark from Thalian Hall Center for the Performing Arts. He's talking about studying Shakespeare and the Shakespeare Club, screening the films that you have never seen and the films you want to see again in the Studio Theater once a month, generally on the first Thursday at 7:30. Now, Tony, we've talked so much about Shakespeare, we have hardly any time to talk about the films.
Right.
But
well,
we're starting
this series, and we're doing the first six films, which will run through February. And each one is by a different director. So we're getting a different point of view and a different approach. They run the gamut in terms of years. There are over some 700 films of Shakespeare's plays in existence. And our goal is to show them all if we can. So we're going to start this. So, and that's why it's the films you have never seen or the films you have seen. But seeing them once again in focus and then having some sort of, we're doing a 15-minute context of the film that night, or some aspect that helps people to relate, so that everyone can become. If you're not now, this is I want to encourage everybody who it doesn't matter what your expertise is in that sense, but I certainly want to encourage everyone to not be afraid to jump into the Shakespeare pool and come to meet us at the Woodnow. And that we'll see, and we'll have give us an opportunity to have a conversation in a sense about what we're seeing.
Now, will the commentary start at 7:30, or the film will start at 7:30?
The film will start at 7:30.
Okay.
We'll start at 7:15.
So come a little earlier.
And that's our plan, and we'll bring in different people.
Okay.
And one of the films that we're showing is the 1935 Midsummer Night's Dream, and to the purist. A lot of the play is not in it. I mean, it's been edited quite a bit, but the special effects and the absolutely to watch James Cagney playing Bottom,
wow,
or Puck, who is this little child practically as Puck, and just so delightful, or Olivia de Havilland in her first film debut. It was a filming of the huge production at the Hollywood Bowl that Max Reinhardt did, and then he did a film of it.
All right,
it's a magnificent. The whole series is going to be so interesting.
I think what we need to do at this point is tell people where they can get a list of the films. Can they go to the Thalian
Hall? They can go
to
the Thalian Hall website.
Thalianhall.org. Okay, and there's a listing there of all the films that are coming up. Through February. We won't have time to talk about them now, but just a couple that jump up.
Tame of the Shrew, Richard III, Midsummer Night's Dream, The Merchant of Venice, Henry V. We're going to show the Leonardo DiCaprio Romeo and Juliet, which is a very modern version. And then we'll repeat some of those, too. So next year, we'll see a different Richard III and a different.
So go to thalianhall.org to get the list of the films and find out more about the Shakespeare Club. Tony Rivenberg, thank you so much for joining us today.
We're so excited. Thank you.
I'm excited, too. This is WHQR.